Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So the Rockets get a win last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've bounced back from the loss to Golden State. I don't think the loss to Golden State was a gigantic surprise last Wednesday.
Not a devastating loss either.
No, other than the fact that we saw what it looks like when they throw the ball down into the low post with Boogie Cousins against Clint Capella.
Yeah.
That was not a great... Capella's a great player. He's really good. That's his Achilles heel, is defending big players like that in the low post. And they exploited it with DeMarcus Cousins that night.
Well, he's a great big guy with an ankle injury.
He is now. Yeah, that MRI is going to be a big MRI as postseason goes.
What that loss did was effectively end the Rockets' hopes of moving up from number three in the Western Conference. I mean, it's still mathematically possible, certainly, but it's going to take a Denver collapse for them to do that.
I think. They beat Minnesota last night. And this is, I'll credit Jonathan Fagan with this stat, Rich. 8 straight games where defensively they've allowed less than 110 points, which in this new high-scoring NBA is kind of the new benchmark.
Yeah.
8 games with less than 110 points. More importantly, from an efficiency standpoint, the fourth-rated defense in the league during those 8 games. Here's Chris Paul on why the defense is so much better.
I think us being healthy has a lot to do with it. You know, the more... You know, we got us on the court, the better. But I think we're also just understanding the importance and everybody's really learning our schemes. We done had so many guys in and out, and now we're getting some type of synergy.
When they won 65 games last year, they were a top 5, top 6 defense. And you just mentioned the 8-game stretch where they were 4th in defensive rating. Since the All-Star break, I think it's 6th. I mean, this is a team that's morphing into the kind of defensive team we saw last year, which is obviously the best news this team could possibly get down the stretch. They are a really, really tough team to deal with on the defensive end right now, in part because they've got so many healthy bodies.
Yeah.
And Mike D'Antoni's going to have some tough calls to make come playoff time in terms of who plays and who does not. They come at you now in waves defensively.
Yeah, it's easy to just go, well, they got Capella back, and so they're a better defensive team. That's not the only reason they're better defensively.
Absolutely not.
Chris Paul is clearly as healthy as he's been this season as a Rocket. He's always a very intelligent defensive player.
Great on the ball.
James Harden is playing the best defense that he's played. I know it's not a huge bar to clear, but Harden has been a plus defensive player this year for the Rockets.
The post is where he excels on the defensive.
Yeah, he's really good down in the post. And they've got a lot of athleticism on the wings. Daniel House coming back from his 2-way contract. They signed him to a deal for the rest of the year. Austin Rivers is a very willing defender. PJ Tucker, Iman Shumpert. They're a strong defensive team right now. And they've opened up a game and a half lead for the 3 seed, which is crazy. Rich, 2 weeks ago, they were like 3 games back of the 3 seed.
Right. We were worried about how close they were to the 9th seed, which would mean the lottery.
Yeah.
And now that's like an 8.5 game gap between them and the 9 seed.
Let me ask you this. So they're a game and a half up on the 3 seed, which is not a comfortable lead by any means, but their schedule the rest of the way is pretty favorable. I looked at their schedule. They have 12 games left. If you're handicapping this, they're going to be favored in 10 of those 12 games. So they're going to be the only 2 games I don't think they'll be favored in. They play at Milwaukee and they play at Oklahoma City. I think they could win either of those games. They just won't be favored in those games. So I say all that to say, it's a schedule that should be conducive to winning at least 8 or 9 games the rest of the way. They're a game and a half up on the 3 seed. They are 3 back of the 2 seed. At what point does the balancing act come in? Like, what seed do they need to feel that they've comfortably secured for you to go, okay, we can start making sure James Harden doesn't aggravate this neck injury. We can start managing Chris Paul's minutes and getting ready for the postseason. Where do you feel like they need to be comfortable?
It's a tough question because the Western Conference standings are still pretty fluid between, say, 4 and 8. I mean, who's in what side of the bracket and who you're likely to see is still to be determined. For instance, if the Rockets remained at the 3 seed and the playoffs began tomorrow, well, their first-round opponent would be San Antonio, and they'd get either Denver or Utah in the 2nd round. I kind of like that draw.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not worried. I'm more worried about where Golden State is in this whole thing. The Rockets are going to be favored against any of the other teams in the West in a series. Even if they're the four seed, they're going to be favored against whoever they're playing in the first round. They won't be favored against Golden State whenever they play them. But if they're the three seed, even going on the road, they'll be favored to beat the Denver Nuggets. That, to me, is the number. If they're comfortably in the three seed, if they've built, say, a two- or three-game lead over Oklahoma City and Portland, whoever's sitting there at four, and they've reached a point where they, you know, you look at it and you go, we're probably not catching the Denver Nuggets. At that point, you prioritize the rest for these guys.
I agree, because the ability to stay healthy, as we know, is paramount to the potential success of this team. And I thought Jonathan had a great little nugget talking about Chris Paul's night off and how it obviously had something to do with the way he played last night.
He was great.
And making the case that even though James Harden would probably have to be tied down, literally, to take a night off, there is a pretty strong case, I think, at this point, if you're in that position, to give James Harden a night off. It's not like he's shown huge red flag indicators of slowing down, but I don't think there's any question he could use a night off.
Well, he's actually had injuries this year. You know, before
he's working on a stiff neck now too.
Right. In previous seasons, you could just sort of say, kind of in general, like, well, he's played a lot of minutes, he could use a night off. This season, it's been kind of a ding here and a ding there. You mentioned it right now. It's the neck injury he's dealing with. I do wonder, Rich, how important that MVP award is to James Harden. If he starts sitting out games, he's almost conceding the MVP award to Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I hope it's not more important than being the strongest he can be to win in the playoffs.
I get it, but we've heard him talk openly about how important the MVP award is to him. I'm with you.
They beat the Warriors without Harden.
Well, that's not a recipe for success.
I think Clay might have missed that game, or somebody missed that game.
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think they had.
I thought they were down one of their superheroes. I'll check the box.
Full complement of guys, yeah. But I bring that up because A, the MVP is important to Harden. B, pleasing James Harden is very important to the Rockets. We need to remember those things, that if James Harden is playing an amount of minutes that doesn't line up with what you and Rocket fans everywhere feel like he should be playing down the stretch, just know that they like to make sure that James is a happy camper, and winning MVP awards, he has openly said, makes him a happy camper.
You know where I am on this. You know, back in the day, Larry Durker would tell stories about making out lineup cards that were not to the liking of a certain superstar in his lineup.
Hey, you can say names, Rich.
On occasion, and I'm not going to name names, but one guy tore a lineup card in Larry Durker's face and said, fill out another one.
Well, that sounds kind of mean.
Well, I mean, this is sort of the equivalent of that. If James Harden is the guy who determines whether he plays or not, you know me as the old school guy. I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
And I know superstars run franchises. I get it. But if James, if the Rockets can't feel as if their head coach and general manager can't impress upon him the importance of taking a night off, I don't like that.
Yeah, I do think that maybe if there is a real injury he's dealing with, he'll be more open to it than if it's just the normal basketball wear and tear fatigue that you feel. Because when he's got no specific dings going on, he probably feels like, okay, well, this is just normal fatigue that I've been feeling. He's got a neck injury and he's feeling that, and last night was the first time in 4 years he didn't go to the free throw line, which is very telling to me.
Absolutely.
That he was managing that game differently than he was managing other games.
And Jonathan Fagan brings up another aspect of his game that could have something to do with either being hurt or fatigued, because he doesn't take a night off, and that's the step-back jumper that's become such an unbelievable weapon for him this season. Since the All-Star break, has not been much of a weapon, and Jonathan quotes Steve Kerr commenting on the step back three being a very physically demanding shot.
Interesting.
That it takes a lot of effort and physical prowess to execute that shot there's a reason why it's such a low percentage shot.
That's interesting to me. I wouldn't think that would be the case. I would think it'd take much more wear and tear going to the hole with all those big bodies in there. To me, the step-back jumper should be a way that you preserve yourself.
All I know is that, and Jonathan had the stats to back it up, the step-back jumper has become a much, much less effective shot for James Harden of late. And the theory...
Now, that could just be the normal wear and tear of the season.
Nothing more than a theory, but as like I said, no less than Steve Kerr considers it a physically taxing shot to take, that you wonder about load management and whether or not there should be a little more load management.
Look at you dropping these NBA terms, Rich, in 2019, load management.
I know. Load management feels like something that can have a lot of meanings.
You're kowtowing to the man right now.
The double entendre pop possibilities with load management are mind-boggling.
You're just spoon-feeding a 4 o'clock open to BMAC talking about load management.
Yeah, I'm not going there. Is Lisa Ann on in the 4
o'clock
hour?
Rich, okay, we've got like 40 seconds here. You can't get us fired in the next 40 seconds. All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.